Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and is seated down now at the right hand of God, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, means that we have the best 20/20 vision this side of heaven. Meaning that we can see what cannot be seen otherwise through these eyes of faith. That's why last weekend I texted prayerfully my friend who's the chair of deacons at First Baptist Midland, Texas, saying that my prayers, our prayers, are with him and with the church and his family and his company. In light of the unleashing of violence by our murderer, killing boys and girls and men and women, this plague of human violence that spans our globe grieves our hearts. Then our hearts were touched by Hurricane Dorian, wreaking havoc across the Bahamas and the Carolinas, now threatening Canada. We naturally ask as Christians, how is it that we can get at the head of the issue? How can we get at the source of the trauma to try to heal the pain early before it creates the tragedy? And also how we then, as believers, can be on the first line response, helping people to recover from crisis. This is the call of the church to do the gospel as the people of God doing the work of God. I firmly believe this. Don't you? This is our call. Paul believed it. Here he was, transformed by the power of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ, the resurrected presence known as the Holy Spirit. And as he was living and doing his faith, he was falsely accused and unjustly arrested and was placed under the rule of Caesar in prison, first in Caesarea, eventually in Rome. It was probably in Rome that he wrote the four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. It was then in the midst of troubling circumstances in life that he found himself held together by Christ in such a way that he helped to hold others together. And he would say that he was a prisoner, a servant of Christ, not a prisoner of anyone else, for he is free wherever he is. That's why he could write to his beloved friends at Philippi, this old territory of the former Alexander the Great, and said, I want you to know that I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the gospel. Being able to stand firm in the one Spirit can be, that means that his feet are firmly planted with the gospel of peace, as said in Ephesians 6. Or it can be that as the circumstances of life move like a ship across the water, he's able to keep his balance. But in this verse, what he is highlighting is that it is the one who is holding him firm. It is the one, the Spirit of God, that's able to keep him centered in uncentered times, to keep him less worried than a worried world, that is able to fill him with a power beyond his own natural power, that being held together by the Spirit, that he is able to be firm. Isn't that a prayer that you pray at least once a day? Lord, hold me together so I may help hold my family together, my business together, my friends, my neighborhood, and where I go. Help make me less anxious in our anxious world. Be the center of my life so that I may be centered in these circumstances. That's a prayer to pray every day for this age in which we live and the age in which Paul lived, the age of our world. And so God's response to get to the headwaters, to get to the source of the trauma in life, was to transform people. By transforming people, then we transform neighborhoods and towns and cities and regions and countries. We transform how life is done. We transform corporations. We transform governments by changing people. And so God created then this movement, the movement of the Spirit to give witness to the gospel of Christ called the church. That's you and that's me, the church. The church can meet in a building, but the building is not the church. It is the people who have come as seekers, becoming believers, and then letting themselves be held firm into that togetherness. And the church embodies God's hope for our sin-sick world. The church embodies God's best hope for our sin-sick world. I pray, I trust, I know, because I know most of you, this is why you're a part of the life of the church. To be nurtured, be fed, to answer the four promises that I will grow in love and I will grow spiritually and I'll grow in friendships and community and I will grow in using my talents in ministries that help others. These four promises that we make are the promises of the church bringing healing power to a sin-sick world. We know that the church includes us, but it's not just about us. We ourselves must be healed and strengthened through the life of the church in order for us to be healers and strengthened out into the world. We have our three campuses, which are ministry sources for this to unfold in helping seekers to be believers and do the work of discipleships, edifying and building up the church so that wherever we go from the Mulberry campus or commencing from Alpha Home or from our Tri Point campus, we're entering into the world as people changed by this Jesus Christ. That's the call of the church. Oh, and there are headwinds today. There are headwinds against the growth of the church. Our culture is not affirming of the church as in the past. And this is the opportunity that can put a smile on our face and an extra step into our soul to say, for such a time as this, we were called. For such a time as this, we have been made in Christ Jesus. For such a time as this, we are Trinity Baptist Church. And for such a time as this, we can partner like with Habitat for Humanity that began with a vision of Clarence Jordan, a powerful translator of the New Testament, who created then Koinonia Farms. He graduated from the seminary that later I would graduate from. He and others would create this Habitat for Humanity. And do you know where the first Habitat house was built? Kenya? No. Ghana? No. New York? No. It was built in San Antonio, Texas. And so we have a long partnership with Habitat to create fair housing, good housing, housing built by the sweat equity of the family who will live there, but simply need the assist of others to help get it done. And so we do our small part, and this month we're doing a part with that. You'll hear Trish Moore share a little more in a faith sharing around that. This is the call of the church being the church. And so in the midst of this, we remember how Paul would speak about the building of the people of God. And he, from prison, was writing to his dear friends in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, one of the third leading cultural cities in the Roman Empire. An empire that had maybe 60 million people in the day of Jesus. And because Ephesus was located at a lead port, a lead cultural center, the third largest library in the Roman world, Paul lived there, and he was able to touch and teach, transform and share the gospel of Christ that would go out and affect as many as 3 million people. Strategically located there, so he's writing him now from prison. Now, many people would have been embarrassed by Paul. What happened to the one who told you about Jesus? They said, we're not embarrassed by him. We are proud of him. Because he was standing up for his faith, standing firm. The Spirit was with him and is with him now where he is. And he has written a letter. And let me tell you about that letter. This film, this picture that you've just seen is the picture of the great library of Celsus in Ephesus. It is a magnificent sight. And upon these streets where he had walked is the sight of where Paul himself walked this pathway. And to be there, you can hear the echo. You can step into the old theater where 25,000 people were gathered and where early Christians were brought in accountability of their faith for they themselves to be persecuted. And it was there that the early church grew strong. God has put you at a strategic place. He has put you at a strategic place where you live, where you get your mail, where you buy your groceries, where you do your volunteer work, where you do your job work. Wherever you go, you are at a strategic place moving there as a way of Christ. You saw Emily be baptized. Her feet were baptized. Her hands were baptized. Her head was baptized. Because wherever Emily goes in the seventh grade and one day in the graduating from high school when her dad, Gary, and her mother, Charlie, will probably shed a few tears. How quickly the time goes, but she'll be launched into her adult world. Wherever she goes, she'll be going then as this follower of Christ. The same true for you and me. Our feet are authorized to walk in this ways of Christ. Our mind is commissioned to think in this way of Christ. That we have our witness to be able to give in the power of the Spirit. Now, how do we do that? There are three ways that Paul lays out in the passage that G. Lou and David read for us. Wasn't that a powerful reading of the Scripture? And in the story of that Scripture is the story of this message to this early church, giving a word and its promise. One, we're directed. We're directed by Christ. We're directed by Christ as head for the church. We are under Christ's lordship. That is, the Trinity Baptist Church is a local church joined with more than 400,000 other congregations in the United States, joined with more than a million congregations across this world, with more than a billion adherents to the follower of Christ. And we are in this great movement, the capital C, the large church, the small c for us as a local church. And we, particularly in Trinity, are strategically located, like at Ephesus. And San Antonio is America's fastest growing city. And in our church mission and ministry, touching people from our seminary to our missionary residents to our 100+ ministries, the word is going out, but we're directed under him. And we have our annual church business meeting on September the 29th. It will be the sense of, under God's leadership, this is a vision that we're affirming as we proceed to go forward. As I awake in the morning, as all the pastoral staff, the ministry staff of Trinity awakens, our call is to help to build up the body of Trinity Baptist Church in service of the Lord, to be teachers and casting the vision for spiritual gifts to be used. I'm not the boss of the church as a senior pastor. I'm an under-shepherd in a service of our common calling. Held accountable, absolutely. But the sense of that accountability is accountability to Christ and to the calling for us in the life of the church. So he said in Ephesians 1:22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now that's like the headwaters. And if we're going to be able to heal our society, we need to get to the source of it. That's the headwater, the midstream, and the downstream. In the midst of this promise, we can get to the upstream by transforming lives, who then transform the environment in which they're living. We can transform the calling and work in the life of our schools and housing, the shape of people who serve in government, and the corporations where we are. As I had opened the sermon, so now we can see that upstream at the beginning and create a transformation there. But we can also create a transformation in individual lives. Someone with a troubled heart, someone in a troubled place. You, called of God, to make a difference early in someone's life to help, that will help them throughout their life. But if it's the downstream, and it is the immediate moment where this crisis has to be responded to, neither we do run away from that. We become the emergency room, become the place where new life gets started to begin. We are directed by the Spirit. And then we're empowered. We can't do it in our own power. If we seek to do it in our own power, we run out of power very quickly. Get into our cars to seek to go to our places of lunch and home and our responsibilities. If you have no gas in the car, how far are you going to get? It's a sense about the empowerment of a fuel in our lives. The Spirit of God is the fuel within our lives. It's a living fuel. It's never exhausted. It never runs out as long as we continue to allow ourselves to be open into this filling, this empowerment, to be empowered to be Christ's serving presence in the world as members of the body of Christ. We are filled then by him and made complete by him. We come to worship on Sunday morning and Satan is shaking at the gates of Hades, because as we gather, then we are absolutely announcing the authority of Christ to defeat the powers of evil in the world. We don't take Satan on head one on one. We send Christ to take care of him, and we serve then to transform people that have been under an influence that he has caused, making sure that we ourselves don't get hooked by that. The body of Christ. Think of that. You are part of the body of Christ. We have a chance to be a member in the Trinity Baptist Church. It's not a member in an organization like a club. It's a member in the body of Christ called Trinity Baptist Church. This body of Christ is resurrected. Emily came out of the water from her baptism. She trusted me. We practiced it. We made sure that I was going to get that to happen. When she came up the water, it was a sign of a Christ coming out of the tomb, resurrected for eternal life. And Emily inspires me as a seventh grader by her clear faith that she is walking into our world empowered, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. Wow. So we are directed, we are empowered, and then we are held together. We're held together by the Spirit of God, the resurrected presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, the sense of by Christ being our cornerstone, the Spirit steadies us in our unsteady world. Irenaeus was an early Christian leader. He was influenced by a guy called Polycarp, who was influenced by the beloved disciple John, who wrote the Gospels and the elder of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus then had an influence from the Paul and then John, and then from John to a guy called Polycarp and then Irenaeus. And Irenaeus put it this way: who we are is God's gift to us. Who we become is our gift to God. In the 1800s, passed away in 1970, Andrew Murray, a Methodist minister, said it this way: God is ready to assume full responsibility for a life totally committed to him. God will assume full responsibility for you and me as we are totally yielded to him. That's the ultimate liability insurance coverage. Now, his grace covers us when we have not been trustworthy. He doesn't excuse us with that. He just says, you're better than that. Trust me. Let me empower you. Let me direct you. Let me hold your life together in light of this gift of salvation. And then Paul says that Jesus Christ then becomes the chief cornerstone of the church. Just outside that doorway into our portico, you will see a cornerstone. A symbolic cornerstone, quoting this very verse of Ephesians 2:20, making it clear for our own selves that it is Christ who holds us together. And then Paul uses the image, again, I use the image of a building, but know that I'm talking about the people of God. You notice how the verses open that David and Jilu read. You're no longer an outsider. You no longer don't belong. Jews and Gentiles, people from all walks of life, come and be a part. There were more than 350 languages that were spoken in the Roman Empire, and the church effectively planted itself with various people groups speaking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different languages. Why? Because the body of Christ is open for all. And in this, the church has won many battles in our world. Won so many battles that people can feel free to criticize the church. Oh, the church doesn't do this, or the church doesn't do that. Well, you've heard it. Remember that boy saying that when his dad and he got back in the car and his dad was complaining about a bad sermon, music was off key, and the people weren't as friendly as he thought they should be. And the boy looked at his dad and said, well, Dad, I thought it was pretty good for that quarter you put in the offering plate. I mean, there really is truth in what we put into it is what we get out of it. What we put into the body of Christ is what we receive in the body of Christ. The experience of worship to small groups, to a ministry team, the sense of joining to be kind of active in this great work. We need each other. And in that need is our strength, not our weakness. In that need, that we indeed are strengthened, held together as a whole people. Our world is wanting to know, can people really get along around differences with each other? We can be held together by the one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism that he provides for us. And in the midst of that unity is a lot of diversity. And it is a diversity blessed by the Spirit that brings us together and makes us whole, empowered by the living Lord. Amen. Let's pray. It is you, O Lord, who brings the Spirit and brings the clarity. We thank you. Therefore, you call us into action because you change us as people, and we naturally want to be involved. Help us now at this invitation that we too may allow you to fill us with your leadership, directing, empowering, and holding us together. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.